It is apple season, and you know if you get a hankering and go to the supermarket, you'll see bins of big, shiny, perfect fruit. The usual suspects. Red Delicious, Granny Smith, Macintosh, a few more. They often look better than they taste. But there's a whole world of heirloom apples out there. Apples that may look really funky, but taste fantastic, with flavors unlike any apples you've tried before. These are varieties that date back hundreds of years. If you can find them. We find them at Scott Farm in Dummerston, Vermont. We're out tasting heirloom apples to see if they're ready for picking.
This is one that I would say is a sprightly flavored apple.
Sprightly?
Sprightly.
Orchard manager Ezekiel Goodband is pretty sprightly himself, with twinkly eyes and a long gray-brown beard tucked into a well-worn sweater. He's devoted his life to heirloom apples, has spent decades carefully grafting and tending historic varieties. As we walk, he looks around at acres of trees, 100 kinds of apples.
We start off with red astrachan, go to yellow transparent, then Shenango strawberry.
Some are round and tiny, others lobed or pear-shaped, from acid green to mousy freckled brown to rosy pink. And who can resist with names like these?
Winter bananas, Pitmaston pineapples, oh, Belle de Boscope.
We come upon a tree heavy with strange fruit, apples that only their mother might love.
This is knobbed russet.
These look like defects. These look like mutant apples.
These, yes, I describe them as a tree of shrunken heads.
They are gnarled and warty and brown and kind of shriveled.
Yes, but they taste great.
Goodband is helping to preserve historic varieties that have been handed down over the centuries. Like farmers for generations before him, he's painstakingly collected cuttings and grafted them to rootstock. That's the only way to do it, to keep the exact DNA of these apples alive.
It's sort of like a chain letter, and I like that connection.
Goodband, like many of us, grew up on Red Delicious apples. His father grew them. They'd eat them year-round. And, like many of us, he won't touch them now. Those leathery, indestructible behemoths, cultivated to be ever redder and bigger at the expense of flavor.
Apparently, there was no one involved in this process who said, well, but how does it taste?
Now, these days, lots of people are ecstatic about the taste of the Honeycrisp, a newish apple created at the University of Minnesota in 1991. It's got cells that explode with juice, a crackling crunch. But Ezekiel Goodband isn't a fan of the Honeycrisp, though he does grow it, to one note, he says. And get this, he claims even his pigs don't like it. If he puts Honeycrisps in their trough, he says, they'll tip it over.
They're interested at first, but then, you know, tell in their eyes that they're looking for more.
So they won't eat it?
They won't eat it. It's like they're saying, come on, we know you've got some good stuff. We're just going to wait. Gentlemen, what's up?
Oh, how are you, sir? Don't know what to pick, you know?
Oh.
The picking crew has joined us. Six men, all from Jamaica, in their 50s and 60s. Their devotion to this place and to Ezekiel Goodband is clear. Some of the men have worked for him for more than 20 years.
So some Hubbardston, some Holstein.
And some Cortland.
Yeah, the red Cortland.
Right, okay, sir, right?
But remember...
2.5 inches?
Yes, 2.5 inches. 50% red?
50% red, no bruises.
No bruises.
No bruises.
Okay.
That's the key.
Yeah.
Yes.
And yeah, good luck.
Godspeed.
And Godspeed. Okay.
The workers say they're proud to know all of these uncommon apples, and they treat them almost with affection. When they prop their wooden ladders against the treetops, they maneuver them gently, and they're careful with the fruit.
Nice and easy.
Nice and easy. Remember, no bruises.
Won't you help me sing the songs of freedom?
With some Bob Marley to keep them focused.
Was all I ever had. Hey, redemption song.
With all this ripe fruit around, I ask, aren't they tempted to snack? Not so much, Michael Johnson tells me.
They say, come and get me, come and get me. It's fun to get them.
Yeah. So you don't look up there and see that beautiful apple and think, I'd like to try that one.
Into the bin.
Into the bin.
Into the bin. Okay. Okay, into the bin, you know?
You can hear the crispness.
Yes.
We're back by the Scott Farm packing barn now with a self-described apple geek, Rowan Jacobson. He traces his apple awakening to Ezekiel Goodband and Zeke's apples that he discovered at his local food co-op. That apple adventure has come to fruition in Jacobson's new book titled Apples of Uncommon Character. And the apple he's just bitten into is one of those, an apple called a Pixie Crunch that he's brought back from a trip to Washington State. It's small, round, and bright red, the perfect size for a child's hand.
It's super cute, right?
The Pixie Crunch was created in the 70s through a university apple breeding program, and Jacobson thinks this small apple has a big future. He relates a conversation he had about it with some big industrial apple growers out in Washington.
And the guy who's growing them was saying, like, this is going to be the next big apple. And the other guy was just shaking his head and saying, no one will ever buy an apple that small. So there's really this tension right now, even among the big guys. Some of them have this old school mentality of what the market wants. And there's kind of a disconnect because the market that I know actually likes small apples and likes different apples than are out there.
Pixie Crunch.
Pixie Crunch. Look for them in stores everywhere in about 4 years.
But as for orchard manager Ezekiel Goodband, he's not interested in the Pixie Crunch. Too sweet, he says. And he's not interested in apples designed to travel well for long distances. His is small batch agriculture, sold locally. His apples will cost more than conventional fruit. Goodband can afford to be choosy. He only grows fruit that delights him.
I've got to be dazzled.
And he wants that fruit to dazzle his customers.
Fruit that people maybe have forgotten about, maybe their grandparents grew it, or it doesn't ship well across the country, and it only is at its peak for maybe a week or two. When I give people one of these apples, they'll come back in next week and say, oh, that was the best apple I've ever had in my life. I didn't know apples could taste like that.
Ezekiel Goodband is 61 and says the heirloom trees he grows will last beyond his lifetime. Now, he says, it's his turn to teach someone else, someone younger, how to keep them going.
The flavor of the month is pumpkin spice already. In addition to Starbucks' famous lattes, which kind of kick-started the trend, there are now pumpkin spice bagels, pumpkin spice gum, a pumpkin spice hamburger. So Hugh Merwin, senior editor at Grub Street, ordered a 63-ounce container of Black Market pumpkin spice syrup, and he put it on everything he ate for 4 days. He joins us now from New York. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Still standing?
More or less, yes.
It was close, though, wasn't it, having read your posting?
It got a little dicey around day three, and I actually had a couple of pumpkin spice-inspired fever dreams a little.
Yeah. Sweating nutmeg, I gather, right?
That happened. People said that they smelled it on me, which was kind of funny because I couldn't pick it up at all.
Now, you detail a number of concoctions in what you wrote. Give us, if you could please, perhaps your best, and then one of your worst.
The best, surprisingly, was I made almost like a French toast batter with eggs and some half and half, and I put the pumpkin spice syrup directly in there. And I made French toast out of that, and I made a sandwich with fried bologna. It had been suggested to me. And it was kind of like this French-Canadian monster sandwich, which was actually really good.
Yeah. But what about some of your less successful concoctions, though?
You know, I went to the farmer's market, and I got these beautiful orange-colored acorn squash, which I'd never seen before. But I figured because they look like pumpkins, they'd go well with the pumpkin spice. And I made this beautiful soup that was smooth, creamy. It was airy. And I did, like, the culinary school sort of zigzag on top, that pattern.
Yeah.
And I made it look really nice. And I was eating, and I was like, this is wonderful. This is great. This is fantastic. And then it just sort of hit me that I was just lying to myself, and it was just horrible. It just tasted like garbage.
You know, we're even now, you can see, beginning to get into the pumpkin season, the visible pumpkin season. I mean, Halloween stuff is out already. Mm-hmm. I'm just wondering if that sets off some kind of emotional reaction in you. Or visceral reaction, yeah.
I love pumpkins. I love pumpkin seeds. I love pumpkin pies. I make a fresh pumpkin pie every year, so I think that my love for pumpkin is intact after this experience.
Hugh Merwin, he wrote about pumpkin spicing up his life for New York Magazine's food and restaurant blog, Grub Street. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you so much.
Oh, and happy Halloween.
Thanks.
Good morning, I'm Steve Inskeep. Indiana Jones made discoveries in the farthest reaches of the jungle. Today's scientists make discoveries closer to home. Researchers in London found new species of mushrooms in a supermarket. Yes, when I first heard this, I too feared the mushrooms were in a dark corner, but in fact they were in a typical package of mushrooms for sale. A DNA scanner found 3 mushrooms with no scientific names, said to be safe to eat, even if nobody knows what they are. It's Morning Edition.
Good morning, I'm Audie Cornish. Coffee snobs, cover your ears. Starbucks is testing a drink that tastes like a stout beer. It's called the Dark Barrel Latte. It's topped with whipped cream and a dark caramel sauce, but contains no actual alcohol. The beer-flavored coffee is only available in a few places, but some customers have already tweeted saying it does taste like a morning cup of Guinness Irish Stout. The one noted beer-tasting coffee? 2 rights can make a wrong. It's Morning Edition.